Anthony Fisher officially becomes the new Archbishop of Sydney next week. He steps into the leadership of one of the most powerful Catholic dioceses in the Southern Hemisphere. The big question is whether he can step out of the shadow of his formidable and usually controversial predecessor, Cardinal George Pell, who's now running the Vatican finances. Archbishop Fisher is a lawyer and an ethicist with a reputation for pretty orthodox beliefs. But as you'll hear, he's not ducking the crises facing the church. Anthony Fisher is speaking with Noel Debien.
What I think was very clear on the pastoral care of divorced and remarried people is there was a real, unanimous awareness that this is a big issue for the church at the moment. And that a lot of people are hurting, people who still love God and Christ, love the church, love the teaching of the church, want to be part of that. But whatever irregularity has happened in their life, they now feel to some degree excluded or marginalised. What can we do to bring those people more into the life of the church if they can't be perfectly part of the life of the church? To what extent that we can, we should do so. And that's what people are struggling with.
Sydney is known in the world for a parade, among other things. Mm-hmm. Of course, Catholic families have kids who turn out to be gay or lesbian. Mm-hmm. What's your message to families about this issue that came up at the Synod?
The presentation of the Synod in the general media was this was a source of huge division, and in the end they couldn't come to an agreed text. Mm. In fact, I think there was huge agreement, and it was on this level. We all know and love people with same-sex attraction. This is not something alien to the experience of the church. So what's our attitude to that to be? Well, these are children of God. If God loves them, then the church has to love them. We have to love them. It's as straightforward and clear as that. The church loves people with same-sex attraction. And that has to be made clear. And sadly, I think it often hasn't been made clear historically. That's the starting point. The question then becomes, well, these people often are struggling in one way or another, struggling to live the Christian life, struggling for acceptance and respect in society, struggling with their own identity, struggling to form healthy relationships and so on. How can we be in there helping? Again, I think there was a high level of goodwill and determination to be in there helping and to be a church that says to every human being, and that includes brothers and sisters with same-sex attraction, we are a church for you. We want you in the church. We want you in the church active, engaged, and struggling with the rest of us to live the Christian life as fully as possible.
Ron and Mavis Perola, they grabbed headlines around the world they were reported on, and Ron and Mavis are not wafty left-wing progressives. They're not at all. They're right in the centre of the church, those two. They caught attention when they said, we're talking about some friends of ours who have a son who's gay and who has a boyfriend, and do we invite them to Christmas dinner or not? And there are kids there. They didn't actually answer it. They said, what do we do?
Yep. I think Ron and Mavis were speaking for that angst that good-willed people around the world feel, that we want both to hold on to our high ideals and we want to love people. We want to support people in their struggles. And how do we do both at once? And so they posed it as a question. And I think it's a question that, again, the Synod felt very intensely. It was not a case of some people saying, oh, that's not really an issue. We don't care about that. But how you both proclaim the wonderful, rich wisdom of the Christian tradition about sexuality, marriage, commitment, affection, and so on, and at the same time deal with people who are struggling to live that, how you encourage them rather than shutting them out. That's the struggle that Ron and Mavis Perola were identifying, and I think we all feel intensely. Every human being, every Christian is called to holiness. It's not just for an elite of bishops and religious and monks, or of the very special, very saintly lay people. And that will be the call of the church, not just in this coming year, to those who are trying to love and love well, to have healthy relationships. That will be the cry of the church, the call of the church for centuries to come.
I've got to ask you this question, given you're coming into Sydney, following Cardinal George Pell, and people are wondering, how much do you think you are a continuous figure who's just quite similar? How much do you think you're a different figure that brings different things to this job?
It's some of both. I'm shorter as I pointed out when first I was asked this, I'm not the larger-than-life figure that he is physically and in so many other ways in terms of his great gifts and presence wherever he is, his booming voice, the whole package. But we're both proudly Catholics, we're both priests, we're both bishops, and we think that the Church has a great deal to offer the world. So we have much in common too. And I'd say in all sorts of ways he's taught me a lot about being a bishop. I'm a generation younger. I come very much from multicultural Australia. My ancestors come from four different continents, though I also have some of Anglo-Australia in me as well. I began in Lakemba and in the southwest of Sydney. We then moved to the inner north. I lived the upper North Shore at one stage. I lived in the city at one stage. I was parish priest out in the eastern suburbs. I've been bishop of the western suburbs. So I've one way or another covered the whole of Sydney, and Sydney's very much my town, even though I've also lived in some other parts of the country and the world at different times.
The Royal Commission is ongoing. In many ways, that's been so unexpected and such an intersection between state and church that we've not ever known before in this country. How do you take the lead on that as you come into this new diocese?
Well, I've tried already to do my best in the diocese I've been in Parramatta, and I've learned a lot there, because it was really only when I became bishop of a place that I started to meet large numbers of victims, to hear their stories, and they're absolutely harrowing, of how they've been hurt, the continuing damage, the sense of no one was listening, no one cared, no one intervened. And I've learned a lot from that experience. I guess there'll be a lot more of that ahead for me in Sydney. I think if we're going to regain the credibility that we want to have in the community, people are going to want to see more than just bishops feeling sad about it. They're going to want to be convinced that we really are acting out of justice and compassion for the victims, that we're really trying to bring them some kind of just compensation, but healing more importantly, and that we're putting in place things that will ensure this never happens again. That we're genuinely repentant as a Christian community, that we accept that this is a spiritual moral problem in our church and not just some bad guys in the old days. It's very clear that we are being purified by this experience through the humiliation. We've come out of it more humble, that we've really learnt, that we've got it. Until we do that, we can't expect our own people to trust us, let alone the wider community.
Sydney's new Catholic Archbishop Anthony Fisher speaking there with Noel Debien. You can hear Noel's full interview on Sunday nights with John Cleary on your ABC local station on the 16th of November. And you're with Andrew West on the Religion and Ethics Report.